Welcome to the Hyperion Hub, your meeting place for all things Disney. Now your hosts.
Hello and welcome to the Hyperion Hub, your meeting place for all things Disney. I'm John Alois and I'm joined by Sean Degenhart.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening.
And John Redling Schaefer.
I'm here for Disney Madness.
Yes! And we're glad you're with us as well. You can join us on social media, follow us there, contact us, or send us an email at podcast@thehyperionhub.com. If you have a Disney review, send us a voice recorded message at Peoria.
John can be reached at area code 309.
At podcast@thehyperionhub.com. And we may play it on the show. Someone did just that for us, and we will play one later on in this show. Yes. Wherever you're listening to us, please subscribe. You'll never miss an episode. If you're listening to us on Apple Podcasts, please rate and review. It helps more people find the show.
I don't think he knows we're here.
I have to work tomorrow.
All right.
That was rather dismissive.
It's time for our Disney Views.
So there has been talk in the past year or so about money that Disney's wanting to pour into its theme parks. And it looks like things are beginning to happen with the initiatives in Anaheim. Disneyland Forward is claiming they want to spend $1.9 billion to develop their property over the next 10 years. That includes buying some streets in the city of Anaheim. We know Walt did that when he was building Disneyland. They closed part of Cerritos Avenue, I believe it was. And the city did not charge him anything to do that. They thought the money that would be coming into Anaheim would be sufficient payment for that. But they are going to charge Disney $40 million to buy some streets in Anaheim. They're not talking about adjusting the footprint of Disney property necessarily, but they are making way for some new attractions, maybe on existing parking structures and reconfiguring things like that. So it sounds pretty exciting.
It sounds very exciting. There are rumors that they will expand and possibly build a third small theme park. I don't know how you get smaller than Disney California Adventure, but again, those are rumors. I'm looking forward to the attractions they want to build. I think if Walt would have been able to purchase more land or been able to kind of have those berms a little bit higher and shut out the world a little bit more, he would have done that. So it's exciting to see where we go with Disneyland.
As a municipal lawyer in the room, I'm kind of excited that maybe some of my clients will have a theme park built in their area and we can negotiate a $40 million road purchase. I think that's got to supplement the Anaheim budget quite nicely, and they now lose responsibility of having to maintain a certain number of miles of road.
It would cost that just to fix the potholes here in central Illinois, so I think it's a good deal.
Well, that's our best chance of a thrill ride around here this time of year.
I blame the salt that we need to make the streets safer. Where did you read that from?
Yep, and I am referencing a news article that was published by ABC7 out of Anaheim with this information.
And that would make sense because you're not going to hear figures like that from Disney. You're going to hear that under a Freedom of Information Act request to a municipality.
And this past week, the Anaheim Planning Commission voted 5-1 to greenlight the expansion project. I think it next has to go to the Anaheim City Council for approval.
Can't wait. Sounds awesome.
Will you be at the council meeting?
Get me a ticket. It's time for our third annual Disney Madness Tournament. Woo! And
Sports.
In this episode, we will reveal the regions or categories, and we'll also reveal the committee members who chose teams for those
I am not
categories.
A committee.
Yes, used that one before, but I love
votes
it.
Votes 1-0, still a committee.
First thing we'll do is randomly draw the names of the categories from a bowl to decide where they will be placed on the bracket. You go first there. Read
Can
that.
I open it?
Yes, please.
It's stuck. You used Post-it notes.
I did.
Based on this, it says Easter window pillows. No, see. Epcot World Showcase.
Epcot World Showcase Pavilions.
I said that just fine.
So that'll go in the top left corner.
If you're scoring at home.
So, Sean, you want to bottom left
drum roll.
Animated
feature films. Feature. And does that go on the bottom left?
Bottom left.
Yes. Bottom left.
Follow where he's writing.
Okay. Top right.
This is coming to you very live.
Top right.
Unproduced as we've been, isn't it?
Lands. So that leaves live action.
In the lower right.
Yes. So Lands.
Well, we already know what that's going to be.
And
live action.
All right.
Top left quadrant, Epcot World Showcase Pavilions is John Redling Schaefer's. Bottom left quadrant will be animated feature films, and that's Sean's.
Hello.
Welcome to the Hyperion Hub.
I have Lands up in the top right quadrant, and
well, that includes Land of Lakes and
live
Land's
action
End.
Films down in the bottom right hand quadrant. So, why don't we start with you, John, and you can read them any way you want. Let me reintroduce the rules, though. The rules Please. Are that you have your top eight favorite whatever you're listing. So you don't have to worry about what you think will be popular. You're not trying to include.
Never been an everybody. Issue with me.
Yeah. So you're just picking your top favorite. So.
And do we list? There was confusion last time, I think, with me. Do we list them in order? Like, is top number one?
So second? One will play the four. I'm sorry. One will play the eight. Four will play the five. Three will play the okay. six.
Four, yeah.
And two will play the seven.
Remember the year where we had one play yes, two, and three,
I,
four.
Right, that's what I was.
I learned
I was
that at the hard way. But as you're listing them, maybe if you want to list them, eight through one or one
oh,
through
no,
eight. Or,
I have the okay. 1-8 matchups.
I'm okay, oh, yeah. All right, all right. So we'll start with your number one.
So we'll start with the opening round games in Dayton, Ohio, both Tuesday and Thursday of the first week of the tournament. All right, inside baseball there. All right. Biggest issue I faced, we had 11 countries in the World Showcase, as of now, right? There's always speculation we're going to have 12 or 13 or even more. How did I narrow it down to these eight? Well, the first thing I did was eliminate the American Adventure. Number one, we're all Americans here. I felt a little biased, right? We should probably eliminate it. Now, I love the Voices of Liberty. We had some internal discussion about whether it would even rank high on our top eight anyway. But moving on from there, Morocco. I eliminated that pavilion because it was all funded by the king of Morocco, and I felt it's got beautiful architecture, but really there wasn't much input no, with the Imagineers.
No attractions, yeah.
Right. So I decided, all right, Morocco's beautiful, but no, it's not going to make the top eight because I can say that. Mm-hmm. And then I did something a little off the cuff. I consolidated the two members of the Commonwealth. That's right, in honor of the crown. We're going to merge the United Kingdom and Canada into one. You bend the rules every year, but moving on.
It's the Italian.
Well, yeah. Besides that, if you're going into the World Showcase the correct way, some people bypass Canada completely before they realize they're in the United Kingdom, so it only makes sense to have them on one line together. So, moving on to our matchups. The 1-8 matchup will be the Commonwealth countries. As the number one seed, my favorite pavilion is the United Kingdom, but I also enjoy Canada. So Canada rides the coattails of its motherland anyway. The UK, Canada is the one matched up against the lowly 8 seed Norway, because to me Norway could just be called Arendelle anymore, right? Have we even looked at Norway? After we lose Maelstrom, we have the beautiful chapel there, we have Akershus, so yes, there is some homage to the Norwegian culture, but I feel like John's favorite IP program at Disney took over a country in the World Pavilion. The 4-5 matchup. The 4 seed, Italy. With Via Napoli and street performing and wonderful music chiming over the intercom, Italy ranks in a little higher than middle of the pack for me. The 5 matchup, Japan. Japan, beautiful views right next to the American Adventure. Magnificent shopping with the Mitsukoshi department store that you could spend hours in. The 3-6 matchup. The French pavilion comes in at number 3. I could spend all day in the France pavilion between Ratatouille, the ride, and all of the food options there in that country. Uh-huh. Oui, oui. Moving on, then, matchup with France is number 6, Germany. I think Germany personally also needs a ride, but a family fond memory of always studying the train and how it's decorated there, as well as the beer garden and buying a brat here or there. The 2-7 matchup. The second favorite in my bracket is Mexico. Not only do we pay homage to the three caballeros, good food, and my wife, the Doogie Howser fan, is hell-bent on sitting at Neil Patrick Harris's bar stool at the tequila bar there. Number seven, the matchup there is China. Beautiful architecture, some shopping, authentic Chinese food, but to me the temple is not enough to put it higher than number seven. So again, going one through eight, UK and Canada, two is Mexico, three is France, four is Italy, five is Japan, six Germany, seven China, eight Norway / Arendelle.
Very good. Very good. All right, moving to the bottom left quadrant of our bracket, we have animated feature films from Sean.
I'm going to start with number eight.
Okay.
Home on the Range. No, just kidding.
Oh, okay. Hey, it's your list.
I'm kidding. I'm kidding. Okay. Number eight, Frozen. Number seven, Sleeping Beauty. Six, Little Mermaid. Number five, Peter Pan. Number four, Cinderella.
Hold on, you're flying.
Keep up.
You can fly.
Number four, Cinderella?
Cinderella.
Okay.
Number three, Pinocchio.
Oh, I have jalapeno pretzel on that line. Is this? Oh, that might be reason I know.
Number two, the fairest in the land, Snow White. And number one, Beauty and the Beast.
Wow. Do you want to share?
Do we want discussion on these?
Yeah, okay. You can. You okay. Can
I thought
talk
that
about
was
them.
The second part when we do the brackets.
No, oh, okay. I'm doing that. Well, like how you did it.
Yeah, that's right.
You discussed.
Wow, look
yeah.
at that.
You did. Good job.
I still did apparently the order wrong.
Okay, and I'll go. Yeah, let's go backwards and okay. We'll just talk about what I was thinking. Frozen, I mean, it changed Disney animation. As much as we love it and love to hate it and are tired of hearing, you know, whatever. And it's, I mean, it did a lot for Disney.
Agreed.
Number seven, Sleeping Beauty is beautiful. I mean, all that Ivan Earl art and the beautiful Tchaikovsky score. And I mean, it doesn't get more princessy than Sleeping Beauty. Little Mermaid really revived Disney animation in 89, the Renaissance. Beautiful Ashman Minkin score brought back kind of the Broadway style production numbers. Number five, Peter Pan. I just adore the score for Peter Pan. Great animation, great storytelling. Love Peter Pan. Great. Cinderella, you know my affinity for Cinderella. She brought Disney back after the post-war failures that they had had. I won't say failures. It was a struggle yeah. during those war sure. years. So she kind of brought back and ushered in Disney's Silver Age. Pinocchio at number three, second animated feature, gorgeous. Brought us When You Wish Upon a Star. Doesn't get better than Pinocchio, except for the next two. Snow White, first animated feature, still the fairest in the land. I mean, it was, I mean, that's what I believe put Disney on the map after Mickey Mouse with Snow White. And then number one, the Academy Award nominated for Best Picture, Beauty and the Beast. Beautiful score from Ashman and Menken. Academy Award winning song. You've got an award winning cast with Angela Lansbury, Jerry Orbach, David Ogden Stiers, Paige O'Hara, Robbie Benson. Just a beautiful film that I never get tired of watching.
Good list. Great list. Okay.
Franz list.
We have
Chopin list.
Yeah. All right. Up in the top right now, we have Lands. So I'm going to do what Sean did, and I can read the. Oh, by the way, just really quick, Sean, just to refresh.
Really
so quick. Your matchups, Beauty and the Beast will play Frozen. Cinderella will play Peter Pan. Pinocchio will play Little Mermaid. And Snow White will go up against Sleeping Beauty.
Correct.
All right. So on the lands side of things. All right. Number eight, we have Disneyland's Adventureland. You've got the Tiki Room, Indiana Jones. It's a little cramped, but it feels authentic. Plus, you've got Bangled Barbecue.
Oh, yeah.
And number seven, I've got Magic Kingdom's Frontierland. Country Bears, Big Thunder, The Rivers of America, and the quiet and peaceful Tom Sawyer Island. Hope it always stays. Number six, we have Magic Kingdom's Tomorrowland. I realize it's dated, needs refreshing, but I love the atmosphere, the music, people mover, and I do love the way it's laid out.
He's at the purple wall all the time for his Instagram account.
Number five, Cars Land in Disney California Adventure. If you're going to build a land on a single intellectual property, this is the way to do it. Yeah. It's incredible dark ride too. Radiator Springs Racers, one of the best they've ever created, in my opinion. Number four, New Orleans Square. You've got Pirates of the Caribbean, the far superior pirates to ours in Walt Disney World, and Haunted Mansion. Pretty awesome land. At number three, we have Galaxy's Edge out of Disney's Hollywood Studios, and that's basically because I haven't been to Disneyland, so I'm going to take Walt Disney World's version, and it's an amazing area, of course. Mm-hmm. At number two, Disneyland's Fantasyland. 10 attractions, multiple levels, with Casey Jr. Kind of overseeing everything. I do love how cozy it is back there behind the castle, and it has some of the best dark rides Disney's ever created.
We don't want to know what you do in cozy areas behind any castle.
Locked or unlocked.
I'm already voting against it just because of that statement.
Number one, Magic Kingdom's Fantasyland. I have 12 attractions there split into three sections, Storybook Circus, Enchanted Forest, and the Castle Courtyard. What really pushes it over the top for me is the castle and the memories spent in that area.
So you're including the new Fantasyland.
Everything. And Enchanted Forest. Okay. Yep, everything.
Well, it is the number one seed. You got to dump a bunch in there. Remember, this is the guy that criticized me for putting two pavilions together.
I didn't criticize you. I huffed.
Well, yes. Check local dictionaries.
Okay, and now the bottom. Oh, so the matchups are. Do you want to read those, John? Because.
All right, the 1-8 matchup, number one seed, Magic Kingdom Fantasyland versus Disneyland Adventureland. The 4-5 game will be New Orleans Square Disneyland versus DCA's Disney California Adventures Cars Land. The 3-6 matchup is Disney's Hollywood Studios Galaxy's Edge versus Magic Kingdom's Tomorrowland. And the 2-7 matchup, the 2-seed Disneyland Fantasyland versus Magic Kingdom Frontierland.
All right, bottom right-hand quadrant now. This is the last quadrant, last region. At number eight, I'm going to do it the same way I did the last one. We have a live-action remake from the animated classics, Jon Favreau's 2016 film, The Jungle Book. Number seven, the 2007 musical starring Amy Adams, Enchanted. I love the soundtrack, the story where an animated princess is dropped in modern-day New York. At number six, I have 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea from 1954, Kirk Douglas, James Mason, Peter Lorre, directed by Richard Fleischer. His father was one of the Fleischer brothers from the Disney rival animated studio. Huh. Yep. At number five, Emma Stone and Emma Thompson in Cruella. I love the style, the story, and the fantastic score and soundtrack. At number four, I've been a fan of this film all my life, from 1969, The Love Bug, second highest grossing film of that year behind Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid and in front of Midnight Cowboy. So it sandwiches two strong films. Now, my top three probably haven't changed in 20 years. So the others might maneuver in and out depending on the day or the year.
I'm just waiting for someone's reaction across the table.
Proceed.
Number three, the only sports movie in my list. It's about the greatest sports moment of the 20th century, according to ESPN and many other places. Miracle, which is about the 1980 U.S. Olympic hockey team. Number two, probably Walt's crowning achievement as a producer from 1964, winner of several Academy Awards, Mary Poppins. And this is, by the way, director Robert Stevenson's second movie on the list. The other is The Love Bug.
I'm surprised Sean stayed in his seat, and I figured he'd leave.
Hey, I didn't say anything during his feature films or your pavilions. We're good.
No, you said nothing.
I said nothing.
All right. Your voice is getting higher.
And my top Disney live action film from 2003, Pirates of the Caribbean, Curse of the Black Pearl, directed by Gore Verbinski. It changed the game for Disney, the music, the story, the adventure. It was new level of filmmaking for Disney. And that's my list. So, someone want to read those matchups to me, please?
I will.
Thank you.
1 versus 8, we have Pirates of the Caribbean, Curse of the Black Pearl versus the 2016 Jon Favreau Jungle Book. 4 versus 5, we have The Love Bug versus Cruella. 3 versus 6, we have Miracle versus 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea. And 2 against 7, we have Mary Poppins and Enchanted.
All right. All right, good list. That is.
Should we say that to you since that was your list?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Good right. List.
Yeah, yeah.
Good
sorry,
list.
Sorry. Yeah. Let me do that again.
Drop page.
All right, good bracket. Next week, we will.
I'm really impressed with my own bracket there. I don't know about you.
Next week, we'll find out who the new champion of the Hyperion Hub Disney Madness tournament is. Before we go this week, I'm reminding you constantly to go ahead and send us in a review. Well, recently we had a review sent in. It was an audio recorded message, and we're going to play it right now for you. It is my son, Evan Alois, from New York City.
Hey, y'all. It is Evan Alois, and I am calling in from the Disney Store on Times Square in New York City. And I'm going to give you a quick review of it. Well, walking in, it's very clear that this is the biggest Disney store that isn't at one of the parks. Tons of merch, many, many stuffed animals standing right next to some Stitch and Winnie the Pooh and some Mickey the Mouse. Ooh, Mickey Mouse. Stuffed animals. And it is a great vibe in here. When I was younger, we used to have one right near my hometown. It was always so fun to go to with my parents. I really miss that Disney store. So to be able to be in one in Times Square is super fun. It is two-story, which is amazing. The ride up on the escalator, you ride past some tangled lanterns on the way up. And the vibe is just, it's so great. All of the music that's being played reminds me of all of the great memories I have with Disney, whether that be the parks or just the movies. And then once we get up to the second floor, we'll see a giant indoor castle, which is awesome. It's just a great little getaway for all you Disney fans out in New York. Ton of great merch, stuff from Marvel and Star Wars fans as well, and then a big Disney princess section. But yeah, it is a great store, and I definitely recommend that you come here whenever you get out to New York. Thank you. Bye-bye.
So my son took a trip with some family to go see some Broadway shows and got to see the Disney store in Times Square, and I've been there. What I love about it, besides the decor, is, you know, downstairs you have a lot of the traditional Disney store clothing and toys. Upstairs were a little more upscale souvenirs to purchase, watches, jewelry. I remember seeing a Haunted Mansion cologne set up there, I think, as well. So I miss the Disney store. We have great memories from our local one here in Central Illinois, and I'm glad that one still exists. We miss the ones in Chicago as well. Have you been there?
I have been to New York, yeah. It's been 5 or 6, 7 years, but yeah, it was great. It was fun to visit.
And you've been there?
Briefly went inside, felt, well, at the time, was spoiled because we had Disney stores elsewhere and kind of went, okay,
yep,
I've seen it.
Yeah, yeah. I miss it. Well, we hope you don't miss the next episode. You get to find out who the Madness Champion is. You can make sure, in the meantime, to follow us on social media. Send us a voice recorded message at podcast@thehyperionhub.com or send us an email there as well. And wherever you're listening to us, please subscribe so you never miss an episode. Till next week, have a great one, everyone.
We're glad you could join us. We'd love to hear from you. You can email or send us a recorded audio message at podcast@thehyperionhub.com. Find us on social media. The Hyperion Hub is not affiliated with the Walt Disney Company or its subsidiaries. We'll meet you next time at the Hyperion Hub.